And Matthew 4:11 tells us that the devil left Jesus after he had tempted him. Isn't that a great feeling, though? The devil, you know, you have a trial and the devil's just been pounding your brains in, you know, and then all of a sudden you've been praying and seeking God and you've been giving the devil answers from the scripture. It is written, and all of a sudden he leaves you. Wow. Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him. And then another wonderful thing happens. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And don't belittle the ministry of angels, and be sensitive to it, because angels are alive today. They're never going to die because they're holy angels. He's coming again with all of his holy angels. Anything holy is not going to die. Praise the Lord. God is holy. He will never die. He makes us holy through his blood. We will never die. So the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him, and everything was all right from then on. Jesus lived happily ever after. Wait a minute. For how long did the devil leave Jesus? Luke 4:13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So you have a season of rest, a season of respite. What are you going to do with that season? The devil left him for a season. In other words, he'll be back. He will be back to continue his temptations. And I have some good advice for you tonight. During the reprieve, during that hour of respite, keep getting stronger. That's the secret. He tempted you. He left you. He gave you respite. He's coming back. He's coming back again to do his dirtiest against you. So you've got to do your best to be ready for him. He's coming back. You overcome a trial and you think, oh man, it's all over. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm ready for heaven. Everything's okay. I have overcome. No, you haven't overcome until you're gone. You haven't overcome until it's over down here. And so you will keep having trials after trials until Jesus comes. Is that good news or bad news? Well, it scares the life out of some Christians. But let me tell you something. If you will use that season when the devil has to give you that respite, if you will use that reading the Bible, praying to God, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, coming to church, filling yourself with God, when the devil comes back, I want to tell you something. You'll take care of him better than you did last time. And then he'll come and he'll bombard you again with all kinds of attempts and temptations to make you not believe God and think that he's the truth and God's the liar, because it isn't coming out the way that you thought it was going to come out when somebody invited you to church. You know, they told you that, oh, this is really it. This is the life. Oh, boy, just wait till you get the Holy Ghost. Everything's going to be wonderful. And then you find out that it's wonderful, but you have trials. But you know what? You overcome that trial, and the Holy Ghost becomes more and more wonderful to you. Your Christian life becomes greater than it ever was before. Praise the Lord. Amen. So remember, the devil left him for a season. You want to use that season to get stronger. I would like to say something else before we pass this question by. The devil's temptations are only temporary. He comes and tempts us, and then he leaves for a season, then he comes and tempts us, and then he comes back, and then he leaves for a season, then he comes back. One time he's going to leave for one big long season called eternity. Hallelujah. He'll be done gone forever. Never to tempt us again, when Satan shall cease from troubling. Amen. Oh, we got to sing that chorus again. So just remember that these temptations are only temporary. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have those temptations, but they're only temporary one day. And I believe it's going to be one day soon. His temptations will cease. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Just hang on. Hold on. Don't let go. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't quit. Stay in there. Stay in the fight. If you're not being tempted, if you're not going through trials and in tribulation, then you're not in the army. Then you're not fighting. We're in a fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. So put on those gloves every morning or hit them bare knuckles. I don't care. Amen. Number 20. How extensive was Jesus' temptation? The Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in, everybody say it with me, all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The difference in his temptations and ours is he never yielded to one temptation in all of his life. Amen. Yet he was tempted in all points like as we are. Hear me real close. He never yielded. Say yielded. That's going to be a key word for the next few minutes. He never once in all of his life yielded to one of the devil's temptations. We have, but he never. You see, listen to it again. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For we have a double negative there, giving us a positive. With the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. Every temptation that you have ever had, every tribulation you've ever gone through, every test you've had, every trial you've had, Jesus went through it to a greater degree. In fact, I'd like to say that Jesus' tests and trials in this life were greater upon that one man than all the tests, all the temptations, all the trials, all the persecution, all the tribulation that all of Christianity together amassed has ever suffered. He suffered infinitely more than all of us put together. If you want a postgraduate study on that, I'd love to give it to you. Come talk to me or talk me into it or something. Because I love it. I love talking about Jesus versus us. The difference. Amen. Okay, so there's the verse. Hebrews 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the finger of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. The difference is, yet without sin. Jesus never once yielded. He never once sinned. Now, this point can be expanded on by the illustration that I'm about to give you. And my line here says this point can be expanded on by the illustration given below. And I put it on the sheet. You see the square there? That's the illustration is in there. That illustration says this. You can do this. And now I want to show you that what I'm showing you is a principle, not specific instructions. It's a principle. I say here, I had to think of something. So I said, find a brick. If you want to demonstrate this verse to somebody, then find a cement block. A brick and a cement block. And then place these two items on end near the stone wall of Pentecostal Assembly Church. No. I don't know. I'm at a loss up here. I don't have anything. Who's here? Who's got good wind? Just you can come up. Who can blow pretty good? Can you blow that guitar over? Please, somebody come and try it. Not you. Oh, brother, come on up here. Come on up here and tell the church what happened to you. And then tell us what the prognosis is, what the outlook is, you know.
I was having fun the other day, a little bit too much fun. I was riding a three-wheeler, a Mach 3 or something like that, and I was going up the hill, and I was going at an angle to this fence, and the three-wheeler decided it did not want to move, and so I hit the fence, and I got barbed wire across the face.
How many stitches?
24 stitches.
How's your arm?
It's a bit sore. It's red. I cut the skin a little bit, but I'm gonna live. I thank the Lord. I mean, cause boy, when I knew I wasn't gonna make that turn, I thought, man, this isn't good. And I hit that fence, and I had that thing come rolling up over me, and I'm like, boy, this is really not good. I didn't feel my arm, and I ended up kicking the thing off. And the first thing I did once I got off there is I just started praising the Lord. I was so thankful. I said, Lord, thank you. And I was just jumping around thanking the Lord. And I mean, I saw blood was going all over the place, but I was thanking the Lord. I was so happy. I didn't know how to stop it or nothing, but I was just praising the Lord and thanking him. to be alive. thank you.
Will you have a scar?
The fellow that stitched me up, he took care of me good. I mean, he took his time and he really matched up my lip well so that it's not going to be crooked or anything. It's actually going to, the red should be perfectly lined up in that, but there should be a real small scar, but I'm healed inside. The Lord took me through that, because, boy, if it had been 2 inches either way, I'd either been blind or dead.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, I'm just thankful. I'm glad that I can still serve the Lord and to work for Him, and I can't blow over that guitar.
Thank the Lord for a good attitude. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jim. Amen. He came over to the house today and knocked on the door, and I opened the door and I saw that scar, and I thought, what happened? So now I know, and he's got a real good attitude. He had it this morning. He still got it tonight. I guess he had it right after the accident. He was jumping around in the field. Praise the Lord. That's victory in trial, isn't it? That's victory in trial. That's what we're talking about tonight, going through trials and coming out victorious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother J.C., you try it, will you? Just try to blow that guitar over. We're talking about Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See if you can blow that over. Okay. No? He needs help. He needs help. Somebody come and help him here. Brother Chris, come on. Maybe you can just fan it. Aren't these young people wonderful? Blow that guitar over there. Okay, let me before you start huffing and puffing, let me just tell you what we're doing here. This is the brick in the principle. Now, this is the brick. See, I said get a brick and get a cement block. Okay, so let's just say this is the brick, and now the devil comes and he blows on it, and the guitar is a saint. And he's being tempted. And the wind, that's the temptation, winds of temptation. And so, take a deep breath. So, so the devil's having a hard time, so he's going to call his hordes of imps in, you know. No offense. I'm sorry. Okay, you better blow together. Ooh, let me turn it the other way. Maybe just turn it around. See. That's all right. You got to blow in the flat spot there. Just give it a good one. Really? Get your lips closer. Way up. Yeah, I'll get it right out here where you can get. Get your lips right up there. You got to blow that over. That's a tough Christian. Okay, just a minute. Gotta get a new devil here. Okay, there's a songbook. That's the first Christian here. I never knew it was gonna turn out like this. I'm glad you didn't clap, because you'd be cheering for the devil. Okay, saint number one went down. Right? I mean, they blew him over. So this saint here yielded to temptation. And over he went. Okay, they blew on this saint, and they couldn't get him over. But the devil's got more than just wind, you know. Just get it, knock it over somehow. I don't care how you do it. See? That saint looked like a pushover, but really, this saint's a whole lot tougher, stronger, I should say, right? They knocked this one over with their fists, you know, but this one here didn't take much to knock it over, really. This one they couldn't blow over. They had to use more force. So tell me something. Here's my question. Which one of these suffered most from the temptation? Right? This one suffered most from the temptation. Okay. Now go up to the wall. Both of you. Yeah, go up the wall there. Blow on the wall. It didn't move, did it? Okay, hit the wall. Push on the wall. Yeah, go ahead. Push it over. It's not going to go. Now, I mean, don't hit it, you know, so you break the sheetrock. Because I hear stories about you. Okay. Just really lean on it with all your strength, both of you. Yeah. Is it moving, anybody? Okay, thank you. You did a great job. Here, brother. Thank you. I'll tell you my point. Anybody starting to get my point here? I want to show you something. Saints are tempted and tried. Boom, down they go. Guitars, saints are tempted and tried. You go to the wall, and they didn't have much success. Now, this wall, I was a little leery, you know, somebody could poke a hole in it. But that's why I said, find a brick, find a cement block, you know, and set them up by Pentecostal Assembly Church. Now, I did this up on the Elk Mound Hill with some people one time. They were asking me a Bible question, and I gave them my answer, and I found some items there, and I set them up, and I blew on it, and it wouldn't go over, and I pushed on it, and it went over, and the second one, I pushed on it, it didn't want to go real easy, just give it a kick, and down it went. And then I went up to the wall of that building up on the Elk Mound Hill, that kind of cement stone building there, and I kicked on it and beat on it, and I couldn't do a thing to it. My point was this. Which suffered the most in the trial? The brick, the cement block, or the wall? The wall. Okay, you're getting it. So I say here, place these two items on end near the stone wall of Pentecost Sunday Church. Blow the brick over if you can. Blow the cement block over if you can. Blow the stone wall over if you can. If necessary, use greater force by pushing one at a time, beginning with the brick, all three items over. The item that suffered the least resistance experienced the least force. Right? Okay. Point. The stone wall withstood all the strength that the devil has. The stone wall withstood all the strength you used against it, devil. Jesus suffered greater temptation than we who have fallen ever experienced. You got the point. Well, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. So, the keenest temptation can be known only by one, capital O, capital N, capital E, only by one who remains sinless. As soon as you sin, you've yielded. Or as soon as you yield, you've sinned. And so you have suffered to the point of yielding. Right? If you never sin, you have suffered the full force of the temptation. All right. I said here, all others are tried until they yield. And of course, those who yield soonest suffer least. So show the Lord you're strong. And don't yield to temptation. Boys, girls, young people, middle-aged, any one of us, when the devil comes along and offers you a cigarette or offers you a can of beer or offers you a party or offers you a drug or some dope or something or offers you something immoral, don't do it. Stand and say, God, you give me strength. I'm going to stand against this, and the winds of temptation will blow, and the devil will push on you, but your feet are planted in the Word of God, and he can't move you. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'm not going to yield to temptation. I'm going to stand. Praise the Lord. Jesus never yielded to temptation. Therefore, he suffered the full force of every temptation known to man. Amen. And then, like I said before, the temptations of Jesus alone were infinitely greater than the sum total of all the temptations of all humanity since Adam and Eve were created. Amen. What does the word tempt mean? Webster says it means to incite or solicit to an evil act. To entice to something wrong by presenting arguments that are plausible or convincing. You know what they're telling young people today? The papers are becoming full of it, you know. They're telling young people today, you're not mature unless you try this. You are not mature until you try this. That's what they're saying in the newspaper. Don't you listen to those liars. Amen. So, it's to incite or solicit to an evil act, to entice to something wrong. By presenting arguments that are plausible or convincing, or by the offer of some pleasure or apparent advantage as the inducement. Number two, to provoke, to challenge, as to tempt fate. Three, to solicit, to draw, to allure, to induce. Four, to try, to venture on, to attempt. Five, to try, to prove, to put to trial for proof. Now, I really hope that you will all be able to coordinate the next three questions. What three categories do all temptations fall into? Does anybody know? There are three categories of temptations that cover every temptation known to man. Three categories: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. It's either the lust, every temptation you go through is either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Every temptation you have ever had or ever will face will be in one of those three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Otherwise, Jesus couldn't have been tempted in all points like as we are. Listen to me now. Okay, so 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world. There it is, right? There's a proof. What more proof do we need? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's all there is. It sounds like a simple outline, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, but wait till you start A, B, and C, that outline. Wait till you say A, capital B, capital C, 1, 2, 3 in parentheses, and then under each 1 and each 2 and each 3 and each A and each B and each C, small a, big A, and so on. You know, just wait till you fill that outline out. You'll have volumes and volumes of different specific temptations that the devil hits us with. But they're all in those three categories. And so when you come to this altar and pray, you can say, God, deliver me from the lust of my flesh. Deliver me from the lust of my eyes. Deliver me, Lord, from the pride of life. And then humble ourselves before God, that he may exalt us in due time. Amen. You start getting victory over smaller temptations because you've got the category list. Amen. Okay, number 23. Using the answer from the above question, categorize Eve's temptation in the Garden of Eden into the same three areas. Now look at here. See, this is what first happened to man. This is what the devil did in the Garden of Eden. They were tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's the three categories thrown at Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then we'll go on. That's the second one. I got a third one yet. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, good for food, lust of the flesh. Pleasant to the eyes, lust to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, pride of life. You got it all right there. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. So, you got it there. The lust of the flesh, the tree was good for food. The lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes. The pride of life, desired to make one wise. And look what yielding cost her and cost her husband and cost all of humanity. what it cost you and me. They're yielding to temptation. Look what it cost! How many of you ladies had a baby and never had a pain? That's one of the things it cost. How many of you men have ever cut down blackberry bushes and got thorns in your hands, or picked blackberries and come to church all scratched up? That's part of it. And then how many have ever been to a funeral? How many have ever seen a dead person? Uh-huh. That's all the result of their yielding to temptation. I'll tell you, yielding to temptation is a costly thing. And so you want to learn to overcome temptation. And one of the first steps in learning to overcome temptation is understanding your trial. Understanding it. I think you have to know these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then watch your flesh, watch your eyes, and the pride of life. And watch that ego and keep yourself down. Amen. So the woman saw the tree, good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And look what happened. It all goes back to the garden. It all goes back to the Garden of Eden, where through Adam, sin entered into the world. But I want to tell you tonight of another garden. It's called Gethsemane, where the second Adam came. Give me a try, God. Give me a try. And he was hit with the same three categories of temptations. Jesus. Amen. Read it in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I want to read the first 11 verses. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Somebody has to overcome. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Did you get that, brother? The holy city. And setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Okay. And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So following the above pattern, That we showed you from 1 John 2:16, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then through the Garden of Eden, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The tree is good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. Now we go to the life of Jesus, culminating practically in the Garden of Gethsemane. And my question is, following the above pattern, categorize Jesus' temptation into those three areas. And as you read it, you can look at verse 4. It says, But he answered, Man shall not live by bread alone. That's the lust of the flesh. I mean, Jesus must have really been hungry 40 days and nights without food. Lust of the flesh. The devil tempted him with the lust of the flesh. The pride of life. Verse 6. Cast thyself down, for it is written, He give his angels charge over thee. Sure, he's got him up at the pinnacle of the temple, and he tells him to jump. You're not going to get hurt, because the Bible says, your scripture says, supposed Messiah, if you're the Son of God, it says that he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So go ahead and jump, and all those people down there will think you're a real hero. Pride of life. And then verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. There it is, the lust of the eyes. So you got all three temptations right there. Garden of Eden and in the Garden of Gethsemane. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, the second Adam, aren't you glad that he went to the garden and that he didn't fail like Adam and Eve did in the first garden? But he went and he withstood all the force that these young men were putting against that wall tonight. I mean, you go over to the church and kick it. You just kick it as hard as you can. Amen. And just do all you can again. You're not gonna knock that over. You just won't do it. And that's what Jesus stood like. He stood like that wall, strong against the enemy. And because of his not yielding to temptation, because of his victory, wow. He went to Calvary, sinless, never having yielded to a temptation, and gave that life so that you and I can have imputed righteousness. It took a man. It took a man to save us. Let's stand. Amen. I don't want to keep you long tonight, but I would like you to worship Jesus for what he did before we open the altar or dismiss and go home tonight. I wish we could look at the Garden of Eden and see ourselves there as failures there, abject failures, and then look to the Garden of Gethsemane and look where Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood because he had you and me on his mind. Because he wanted us to live with him sin-free, sinless throughout eternity with him in his glorious home. Praise the Lord. This is what it's all about. Amen. I imagine some of you want to come here tonight and you want to pray about overcoming temptations better and not yielding to temptations as quickly and becoming stronger during the season of respite that God allows us so that we can build ourselves up in our most holy faith. This is a good time to come and do it. This altar is open. Come and pray in the Holy Ghost a while. Come and pray in tongues a while. That's what that means, praying in the Holy Ghost. It can't mean anything else. It's got to mean praying in tongues. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to come and